This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
Joy Radio. Hi, this is Lucy Lawless, otherwise known as Xena Warrior Princess, and I urge you to join Joy because who doesn't need more of that? We're loud, we're proud, we're here. Joy Radio.
Listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders, women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future. And welcome to Broad. Thanks again to Well Well Well, fabulous crew there, keeping us informed and on the case as it may be. And it is Monday the 13th. It is February, and tomorrow is the big day. It's a V-Day for some people. For others, it means something totally different. But that's aside from that, that was Yalupino, written by Pharrell Williams, the wonderful Pharrell, and performed by the fantastic Janelle Monáe. Janelle Monáe, of course, is in Hidden Figures. Apart from that, she's also starred in the wonderful Moonlight, which has been just raking in the awards, which is fantastic. Now, we'll be talking about Hidden Figures a bit later in the show this evening, doing a review. It is due out Thursday, but I do notice online there's a few sneaky kind of pre-previews or post-previews, a few screenings that are on and about town if you are really keen to see this film. And I suggest you do see it as soon as you can. And certainly let's hope it gets those awards. But I'll be talking about that later in the show. And also tonight, to showcase, we are speaking to Rebecca Chairs, all the way from Brisbane. She came all the way from Queensland to talk to us about a femzine, a feminist zine that she is part of and collates and puts together and smashing it out, really is. Wolfpack, it's called. And it was in the Festival of the Photocopier, the Fair Day, which was yesterday, Sunday, the 12th, a big event for many zinesters out there, feminist and otherwise, and just a fantastic crowd at the Melbourne Town Hall here in Australia. It really was amazing. Look, there would have been about 200 tables or something like that. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of zines, but all DIY and made with a lot of love, care and attention. And we had our first zine there too, Broad Zine number one. So hashtag, well, we gave it a shot. Hashtag, maybe we'll do this again. Hashtag, maybe not. I don't know. But look, we managed to raise a bit of money, which was cool. And that moolah, or $67 of it, and 40 cents. I don't know where the 40 cents came from. In any case, that donation will be given to WIRE, and that's the Women's Referral Service based here in Melbourne. They do a lot of work specifically for women's issues, and there's some, you know, they're just a great bunch of women going for many, many decades now. Well, maybe two or three. And do a lot of hard work. If you need to talk to someone about anything, they can help, and then they refer you on to any other organisations that can support whatever you're going through. If you're going through a tough time, breaking up in a relationship, you need to get out of a relationship that's dicey and that is trouble for you, or you just need that support, they can certainly help. I'll put more details on our Facebook page for that. So money will go towards them. It's symbolic more than anything, because we do support them, and they've been on Broad before. Also, we'll be chatting to, we'll have Jane Connery. She's returning for Broad Designs, and specifically talking to an amazing artist and designer, Jess Johnson, in New York City. We had a chat to her, talking about her work, her design, her art, and a lot more. So she's based over there. She hails from Kiwiland, VIA Australia, and then on to the United States, talking about what is happening there, the tensions at the moment that are going on there, which is, yeah, pretty tough for many. And on top of that, raccoons and fried chicken. I don't know. It's all on Broad tonight on Joy 94.9. Now, if you've got a question or you would like to, just message us in, you can do so 0427-JOY-949, or you can phone us 1300-JOY-949. There is the email too, and that is onair@joy.org.au. And we're also on Twitter, the Twitterverse. You can tweet away or tweet, I think it's the word is right. And that is at BroadFem 949, all lowercase. So that's at BroadFem 949. And naturally, we're on Facebook, so you can hit us up there. We'll put links and stuff to do with the show tonight, and obviously podcast the show later in the week for you to listen to again if you wish to, or if you miss out, like you can't sit around and do that this evening. It's replayed at, I believe, early hours of the morning. Head to the Joy website for that, joy.org.au, for more. And like Lucy Lawless said, hey, at the beginning of the show, why not join Joy? It's probably a good idea, and in fact, it is a good idea. Keep us on air talking about feminism, news, stuff to do with the ladies, women, queer news and topics, lots of stuff happening. The Grammys, of course, one of the big things happening in the last few hours, where Adele very famously, reluctantly, she beat Beyonce for the top prizes. However, she basically said, hey, you know, she apologised and for receiving Album of the Year. And it looks like, yeah, she possibly, would she hand it over to Beyoncé? She said, quote, "I can't possibly accept this award," while using superlatives to describe how monumental Beyoncé's Lemonade was. Ultimately, Adele walked off the stage having won all five of the awards she was nominated for. That's incredible. Such a humble, real down-to-earth person, Adele, I think. And, yeah, she might be right, but look, at the end of the day, these awards don't always necessarily mean the best person wins, but overall it's been a really important year, I think, for women in the music industry, not just in the US, but all around the world globally. And don't let that put you off if you do make some awesome music. And actually, in broad, we like to chat to musicians. We do. Last week, we spoke to Rachel Maria Cox. Now, that's on the Broad website on Joy at the moment, if you want to listen back to that. And don't forget, they've got an awesome crowdfunder to help them keep making, you know, the awesome, awesome tunes that they do make. And speaking of which, I think it's time for a little bit more music. Now, I'm going to play another track that's from the fabulous movie Hidden Figures. And then I think it's time to talk to Rebecca about the coming up of Wolfpack and how femzines are just virtually took over the festival of the photocopier, I think. Yesterday it was just incredible. The amount of wonderful stuff all made by hand. So much work and so much effort goes into making these zines. And, you know, it's not just about getting black ink on your fingers. It's about the love and the passion that goes into that. Here's a bit of Lala Hathaway with Pharrell Williams. And this is called Surrender. It's from the Hidden Figures soundtrack. This is Broad on Joy 94.9.
I surrender.
Hi, this is Scarlett, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Don't forget, if you want a message in 0427 Joy 949, what you think of the Grammys and how much, you know, amazing women that were there showing their support. There was a lot of protest happening, or support, or as I call it, protection support happening, talking about No Dakota Pipeline, of course, and we support that 100%. Stand with Standing Rock and Rise Again Standing Rock, hashtag. Also, there was, you know, certainly some women of colour, great representation there, and the whole Knowles family were pretty much involved. So, includes Solange picking up an award there. So, any thoughts you have about that, let us know. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. And, like I said, head on the Twitter there, the Twitterverse, at BroadFem949. But we're going to chat to Rebecca Cheers, who I spoke to earlier in the week, talking about Wolfpack and what it is. What are femzines? Find out more. Here we are. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia, and this is Broad on Joy 94.9. And in the studio tonight, we're speaking to someone because it's all about the zine. Being a zine-tastic weekend, I want to welcome Rebecca Cheers from Wolfpack. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Yeah, so it is Wolfpack, number eight. This is your eighth time.
Number eight. It's difficult to even believe myself that there are eight of them.
How many years?
Oh, I mean,
has that taken then?
Only about three, I think, because we started out quarterly initially.
Okay.
So we were doing four a year, and then we changed about halfway through because four a year was not remotely sustainable. That was just straight up nonsense.
Oh, right. Yeah, it would be. It would be just too hard.
Absolutely.
I'm only learning that just from my own experience of having to put together something that resembles a zine of some sort for Broad at the moment for the Festival of the Photocopy. What is it about zines that draws you to, you know, to doing them?
They're just so amazing. I mean, before we started making Wolfpack, my introduction to zines was Sticky Institute, really, which I think is basically the story for everybody I know. But there was just something completely intoxicating about them. It's this intersection of self-publishing but also physical analog media that just hits the pleasure center of my brain and just makes me really happy. That's everything I love in a stapled bundle. They're amazing. And I think the resurgence of zines is just really heartening.
Yeah. I mean, Kanye's got one, apparently, or did have one. Like,
that's amazing. I think I do recall hearing that. Yeah, can you just imagine Kanye West slumped over a photocopier, like sweating, like trying to make
enough.
The toner work?
I'm sure he has people to do that. But in any case, it's like, it's an amazing thing, and just growing and growing in strength. But you've come from Brisbane.
Yeah.
Not just obviously for Broad, but to do the zine launchings and things like that. Tell us about what you do in Brisbane and, oh, obviously what Wolfpack is about. That would probably help.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are now a biannual zine, so twice yearly, not every second year. That's very unclear. Thanks, English language. We publish femme and non-binary artists from Brisbane, but also Australia. And I think we've had one sneak in from London this issue.
Oh, okay.
we've transitioned from being a sort of collective-based zine to being an open submissions publication. Oh. So people actually submit content to me now.
Right.
Which means that we get all kinds of goodness. And we publish a little bit of everything. So we have fiction, we have nonfiction, poetry, a lot of poetry this issue. The poets are taking over. Visual arts, we've had comics.
Why do you think poetry has become a big thing?
I think it's actually because my friend Zenobia Frost, who's an amazing Brisbane-based poet, she has just been repping Wolfpack relentlessly, and she helps me out with the poetry editing. A big shout out to Zen, keeps me sane. So we've seen a really big uptick in submissions for poetry this time.
Right.
It's great for zines, though. It's like, it's so punchy and it fits on
it's
a page.
Perfect, yeah. You can cut it up. Nobody will notice a few lines missing. No, just kidding.
No, they would scalp me. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Pull you apart page by page. But Wolfpack, so its philosophy is, I mean, it says online it's a femzine. What makes it a femzine and what is the difference, I guess?
I think the reason we started making the zine, and I remember really clearly because it came out of me messaging a bunch of my friends and inviting them to my apartment and saying, what are we going to do together? I noticed that a lot of my friends were either total secret geniuses or were being creative, but creative on a very solo basis. And I just really wanted to, I say this every time I do an interview, but there's this really amazing Kathleen Hanna quote about Bikini Kill, about all the amazing things that happen in girls' bedrooms and all the amazing art that girls make in isolation, and the idea of connecting all of those bedrooms up and how powerful that is. I think about that a lot. We're obviously not just femme, we have tons of non-binary contributors. But just valuing the art of people who are often sort of conditioned to work in secret or work solo.
Yeah.
Connected all together.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's sort of like, I guess, sort of a girls club, you know. I mean, yeah, the bedroom is probably essentially one area, and maybe more social media these days, perhaps.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was a contemporary quote from a contemporary interview or something from way back. But it definitely applies to me, because I only became creatively fruitful really a couple of years ago, and I've been a lifetime secret creative, a lifetime timid creative, someone who kind of did her own thing very quietly in the corner. So there's something really powerful for me, not just from an activism perspective, but just a community sense, everybody contributing, having it being like a collaborative zine like this is just really fun. And it's a bit different from running something like a journal or just a small publication. It's a bit scrappier.
Yeah, definitely scrappier.
It takes a village.
But yeah, look, I've seen Wolfpack zine evolve as well, and certainly the last one, they're getting pretty, you know, solid, like
out
there's a lot of content.
I don't know if this is the biggest, but it's definitely the most complicated issue.
Yeah, you said an A3 fold out thing.
There's a super special extra fold out A3 centerfold image, which is a big sort of mixed media erasure poem from Zenobia Frost, the poetry editor. Yeah. She gave that to me, and I just thought it was so cool, and I had to do something with it, but it was really big. So thanks, Zen. Everything is your fault.
Thanks for the pain.
Yeah.
But it's such a relief, I bet. I bet when it's all over.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, done. I finished stapling them last night, and this was a tricky issue to print, and I have a lot of contributors, and even some just people I know who went out of their way to help. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Kendra. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Maylee. So it's a very special one. It's a piece of everyone in it.
It's a really fantastic community. I remember seeing you guys, what, be 2 years ago now, down at Sticky with launch number, whatever that was.
That was
six
when we
or
met.
Five?
It
five?
Was four, actually.
Oh, wow.
No, hang on. It was three. It was issue three. It was the Hello
Zine. Grief. You had that many. Like, wow. Okay, so it was number three.
Oh, hang on. Wait, no, it was number four. I just lied.
You actually had three and four there, I think. You had one that had, which really interested me, was the horror, the one that had a lot of horror.
Because it was
content.
Sci-fi and Scream.
That's right. That's right. And then you had the other one I wasn't so interested in. But that was cool. That's fine. That's fine. And you did some readings from it, and everyone was there. And they don't call it Sticky Institute for nothing. Because it was, again, it's hot
very
as anything,
small.
Isn't it? And small.
We I think it was a bit of an infamous launch because it was our anniversary issue, because we were quarterly at the time. It was issue four. And so we wanted to have a cake, so we had and we're from Brisbane.
The cake, that's right.
So we ordered
that.
A very big vegan
blue?
Birthday cake.
It was a blue and
bright
white?
Blue and pink birthday
oh, pink.
Cake.
Right.
and we had it delivered to Sticky when we hadn't shown up yet. So Thomas is just there, and somebody drops
there's
the
a cake.
Cake. It's like, okay. and then we had too much cake, so a couple of us after the launch had to go up and stand on Flinders Street and offer passers-by slices of cake. It was a special day.
Only Brisbane people would do that.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people would be looking at Melbourneians, we're looking going, why are you giving me this cake?
That was,
you know,
very much the reaction.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want? Has it got something nasty in it?
Yeah, it did look
not?
Very blue, so.
It did, yeah. It was a great event, that one, because I think there was a few Kiwis over as well, if I remember right. The
yeah,
two roses.
There was.
There was the three roses. They were all named Rose. I can't remember Rose Curry, and I've forgotten the other names of the awesome woman there. But anyway, it was really cool.
I think one of them might have been from Mellow Yellow, which is one of my favourite zines.
That's so awful. They do. Don't they organise the zine fest? This is all just guessing.
I think they might, but it is, I mean, it's my favourite New Zealand zine.
Yeah.
I can say that.
It's pretty good. So yeah, look, Sticky has been the epicentre for a lot of things going on. I wouldn't have been inspired so much to do this show, to do Broad, because it was looking at zines that got me excited about what if I did a radio show that was like a zine.
That's actually, Brisbane has one of those.
Oh,
what
is
it? We were just talking about slums. We did. We used to have a very long-running feminism scene in Brisbane called Slums. And they had
Slums.
It's short for Slumberjigalian.
Of course it is.
And they had a show on 4ZZZ, which is our community radio show.
Oh,
and
cool.
The whole idea was it was a zine, but it was a radio show. They used to read recipes. They read one from Wolfpack once, one of Talia's amazing recipes. Really amazing. Zines just bring out the best in people. I've never encountered an artistic community that I value more than zine people. Zine people are very special.
I think it's because it cuts out all the crap. It doesn't mean it's not competitive. There's no huge amounts of money being made, obviously, unless somebody's got a secret they're not telling us. And it's that kind of ethic of do it yourself and collaboration and acceptance. And that's great. That's great as a place to do it, space to do it.
It's really special to me because I'm a creative writer. I study creative writing, so I do have some involvement with other kinds of...
The real world.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
but other sorts of, young art communities. And I just... I really struggle to feel at home sometimes, but never at a zine event. Never with zine people. For a group of people centered around an art form that often comes out of a need to express oneself through marginalization or a lack of existing channels, you would expect there to be some... I don't know, some sort of discomfort in zines, but that just isn't.
I'm sure it will go from strength to strength every year. There's new people. There's always a new table or, that awkward moment. You go, I don't need to feel shy and awkward anymore because there's someone doing similar stuff sitting right next to me. And that's, with the badges because there's a badge thing. Have you got badges?
There's a badge for everything.
There is.
Wait, I haven't. Talia might. Talia, to be honest... kind of handles our table, the Wolfpack table.
Okay.
Thank you, Talia. I just don't even know. I just show up and everything looks amazing. Not my forte.
No, last year I just turned up. It was court scene and the lovely Jimmy, he was involved with that. I realise now why he was pretty tired afterwards because he did all of that kind of side of it and I just thought, oh, I'll just turn up. You said you should just turn up, Sonia. So I did. And for Broad, whatever we do make, will go towards a woman's charity. So, yep, we're
amazing.
Looking forward to doing that.
There's an amazing zine that I've contributed to or I've submitted to. I haven't heard back. But it's a zine that's raising money for a campaign that is advocating for the release of some artists being kept on Manus Island.
Oh, okay, yes. Is that through Safda Ahmed?
I mean, he
may be one of the people involved.
Yeah, I think so.
He's awesome.
I painted a fish.
You're right.
Really excited. So.
A fish with a key in its mouth.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. But
there's some really great... really great stuff this year.
And so how can people find out more about Wolfpack Zine?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways. So Talia runs a distro on Etsy called Kissy Face Distro. You can just Google it.
Kissy Face Distro.
Typically, you can get some Wolfpacks there. Stock levels vary.
Okay,
We also, if you're in Melbourne, we typically have some stock at Sticky Institute. We also sell in Brisbane, typically at Junkie Comics, if you're in Brisbane. But you can also just get the PDF from our Tumblr, which is wolf-pack.tumblr.com.
Okay.
Just for freezies. You can just get the PDF. We always put the PDFs up.
But if people want to donate, do you have a donation
There's a little PayPal tip jar button, which if you check out the PDF, we would appreciate. It's a quite out-of-pocket affair, Wolfpack.
Yeah.
And we now pay our contributors, which is something that is
that's cool.
Super important to me. The work that we receive at Wolfpack is so valuable. Their time is so valuable.
Now, if someone was going to start out and want to do a femzine, what are some of the sort of suggestions, hints, or guidelines you can say?
Yeah, I mean, the Wolfpack is so different to, because I make zines by myself as well, and they're such different enterprises for me. So if you wanted to do something like Wolfpack, just reach out to all the amazing people in your life who you know could use some exposure, and then just work really hard to approach their work with integrity. Making something like Wolfpack is just like a priceless experience. And even in Brisbane, we're seeing such a boom in like small press, small journals. There's a new journal coming out of Brisbane called Penciled In for Asian Australian Writers, which is amazing.
Penciled In.
Yeah, there's just new journals and stuff popping out of Brisbane all the time. Some people I know made one called Veronica, which is an online journal. The thing about Brisbane is that all the journals come from Brisbane. Mianjin, Lifted Brow, Scummag, all started in Brisbane. We are...
What's with that?
I saw somebody say recently that a literary community takes a million journals. You got to have a million voices to build a really strong literary community.
Oh, can you have a couple hundred, maybe?
Yeah, a million might be a bit much just for Brisbane specifically.
I think so. We certainly have had an impact and inspiring. And it's amazing that, it just keeps coming up again and again as the go-to a place is Brisbane.
And when I make a solo zine, I tend to just kind of chuck it out in a night. I'll just bang it out, not edit it too much.
Yep.
And publishing something, no matter how scrappy, and just allowing it to be scrappy is just like the number one thing you can do to be a better artist, to communicate better.
That's a good point.
Make something.
And lastly, I always throw this at people I have on the show. Feminism, what does it mean to you?
Oh, you know, I got asked this question with a camera pointed at me recently for a One Woman Project is a product out of Brisbane. They did a conference and they asked me that. And my answer then, probably my answer now, is that feminism for me is just a really great practice of looking at where you are in the world, where you stand, what the power relationships around you are, what effect you have, what effect other people have on you, and then acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of looking at a world, and then it's a practice based on that. Really valuable. Looking at the world, seeing what you personally can do and doing it. Well, I've actually found myself recently probably referring to myself as a feminist less often. Not because I have a problem with the term.
Yeah.
Not that I begrudge people who do. There are so many nuances here. But just because I'm just trying really hard to do the things that I value and let that speak. I think sometimes, especially when it comes to things like intersectionality, sometimes declaring yourself as such is not the same as acting. So I guess I try to take every situation as it comes and not assume that I'm coming from the correct place to begin with.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for Broad, the Broad Scene episode. Broad Zine episode. Did I say Broad Zine? Broad Zine.
The Broad Zine scene.
The Broad Zine scene. That's it. From Wolfpack and many other things. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl, just as I know Sonia does.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
One time will come that brings a dawn out of a night. Not only from
That is beautiful. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. It is Elaine Brown going back, I believe, the early 70s, about 71, 72 there, one time. Yes, she does talk about men in that song, but as she said, as a leader, as a revolutionary of the Black Panthers during the late 60s and early 70s and mid-70s, Elaine Brown in the US, she was one of the forefront, too, of women of colour, African-American women who were feminists and were part of the party, the Black Panther Revolutionary Party. But at the same time, we're pushing forward, I guess, the role and representation of women within that very masculine party at the beginning there as an activist revolutionary group, which brought a lot of great things to the American environment, including for the civil rights movement, including free lunches for kids and making sure they had breakfast when they went to school. Just simple things, even pedestrian crossings. They didn't have those for a lot of the people of color, African-American people in communities in the U.S. There was a lot of, really terrible stuff happening. And, of course, as we know, that seems to be like history repeating itself. The reason I played that is Elaine Brown will be coming to Melbourne very soon as part of a special conference, a couple of day conference in March, end of March. So looking forward to that. I'll keep you posted about that. Cross fingers we get to talk to her, because she certainly is an icon and a survivor of a very traumatic and yet inspiring time in US history. And speaking of which, before we go on to the interview Jane Connery had with Jess Johnson, I should say, in New York, talking about Broad Designs, it's been announced that there will be a Day of Revolutionary Love tomorrow, our time tomorrow, the day after for the US, and it's Tuesday for Valentine's Day, February the 14th. So a feminist, a Day of Revolutionary Love, and that's through the Women Who March, or the Women Who Marched on Washington, part of that organisation in the US. They've released that this is a revolutionary day of love, a day of rising, resisting all executive orders and policies that put people in harm's way. They say they commit to fighting for social justice through the ethic of love. Love for others, love for even their opponents, and love for themselves, love for their comrades, and love for the other feminists and other women involved in that movement. And it is a movement. It certainly is. They say they will rise up across the US and around the world in music, poetry, dance, and engage in the Congress to declare that revolutionary love is the call of our times. They've even got a declaration. So I'll put that up on the Facebook page a bit later after the show, and you can have a peruse of that. And so, yeah, revolutionary love, I think that's a good idea. I really do. Let's listen in a moment to the interview Jane Connery had with the fantastic Jess Johnson in New York City, talking about women in design, Broad Design and art. You're listening to Broad here on Joy 94.9. Broad Designs is women in design, the politics, the art, the women, the designs. Jane Connery is your host, talking to female designers about design, Broad Designs. On Broad, Joy 94.9.
Hello, everyone. This is Jane Connery. You're on Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Broad Designs. Sonia, I'm tempted to give this segment a new tagline, maybe Broad Designs, talking to the mothers of invention. What do you think?
Sounds like a really good idea.
I like it too. And I know you went and saw Hidden Figures. How was that?
Oh, amazing. It's very much talking about, it's very much a Hollywood film.
Yes.
But it's such a different Hollywood film that we haven't seen for several decades, I think, or if not ever.
Yes.
And it's just great to see that representation and three amazing women of colour and all the other women behind them. You get little glimpses, but it was such an important historical event, projects. It's great.
It is great. It's funny how a slight shift in the focus of heroes in a storyline can make it appeal to so many more people. I loved it too. One of the things I did notice was how all the female characters spoke to all the computers as if they were female too.
Yes.
It was very empowering, even that.
I wanted to know more about that story.
Yeah, with the computers being girls. I just think because the main characters were girls, it was all about. Mm. Yeah, the empowerment of technology and what women can do with it. So tonight my guest is Jess Johnson, a New Zealand-born artist slash designer who has exhibited widely in Australia and who is now speaking to us all the way from New York. Welcome, Jess, and thanks for your time.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too. I know I just called you a designer. You'd rather be called an artist, wouldn't you?
I guess that's my preference. I haven't been called a designer before, so I'm not sure if I'm qualified to have that label.
Oh, that's okay. I think it's a pretty fluid label too. Artists are often designing a message and a story as well as just creating as well. So I like to think artists and designers are pretty close. There's a link to your work on the Broad Facebook page so we can all get a better idea of what it looks like. But your art has been described as hypnotic rock posters set in twitching alternative realities. You draw elaborate patterns, floaty humanoids and alien architecture. And I'm kind of creating a link here with Hidden Figures, with women taking people into new territories and the unknown. And your art kind of does that too. It kind of takes us into new realities, new experiences. I mean, one of your pieces, recent pieces at the NGV in Melbourne, worked with the Oculus Rift. Can you tell us what it was like working with new technologies?
I've been drawing this alternative realm, I guess you could call it, for the last several years. And about 2.5-3 years ago, I moved into taking this world off the page and translating it into animations. And that was with the help of my collaborator, Simon Ward. And it seemed this very logical progression to move this world into animation. And there was this nice synchronicity of the technology of virtual reality getting to this point where it was effective enough and affordable enough for us to start moving our animations into the virtual realm. So I've worked quite intensively with Simon for about 6 months on Ixion Gate, and Simon was basically like learning the programs at the same time as building Ixion Gate, because it's such a new thing that the language of virtual reality hasn't kind of been written yet. So people are just very much like following their nose with the technology to see what sort of new directions and genres and things it might move into.
That's an exciting space for an artist, really.
In terms for like the audience as well, like when we first showed Ixion Gate at the National Gallery of Victoria, for a large amount of the audience, it was their first experience with virtual reality. So people are always going to remember their first time with this technology, so they're much more sort of susceptible and their minds are wide open. And so that's a very interesting thing for an artist, to be able to like imprint my artwork and my world on people's first experience with it.
Great. It is. It's very exciting. It's great how artists can push that experimentation with technology into new ideas. And in the current reality of the political climate in the States, where you're working from now, how do you see the role of artists in exploring these alternative realities?
I think people have always used science fiction as a way to legitimise talking about what's happening in the present. So I think that's been evident with world events over the last few years, where we're seeing a lot more of these dystopic,
yes, Brave New World type of thing.
Yeah, and in terms of like the popular movies as well, it's like there's definitely this dystopic Hunger Games vibe to a lot of the movies that are getting produced. But I think living in America at the moment, and I've actually only lived here for just over a year. To be honest, in the day-to-day, I think a lot of artists in America are actually feeling very adrift and struggling with making art right now. Mm. It does seem to be a very privileged indulgence to be toiling away in the studio when the country seems about to burst into flames outside. So, yeah, I think people, most everyone I know is very engaged with what's happening in the country right now, so everyone's getting out to a lot of marches and engaging in a lot of activism, and it's just coupling that with spending time in my studio drawing these worlds as well. But I think in terms of like my work, whatever's been happening in the outside world has always kind of crept into my artwork as well. So I can definitely map out sort of my drawings getting a lot more darker and weirder sort of over the last year since I've been here.
And where, Where does your work take us now? Do you find it is changing? Or in comparison, where it has been taking us? What, tell us about that journey of where you can take us through your work.
I mean, it's obvious that I've always been very interested in science fiction. I've always been very interested in speculative worlds and space travel. But I actually think in more recent years, I feel like I've swiveled my focus inwards. So instead of looking far out into outer space, I've been sort of going deeper into my own mind, I guess you'd say. So I don't necessarily think of the worlds that I draw as existing somewhere out there in another galaxy. It's like I sometimes think of them as more like macro worlds, like existing within a cellular level. Nice. So it's like the exploring the space of the internal world as opposed to the space travel, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what art can do, especially in these political times. Everyone can have that self-reflection and internal sort of dialogue, and you put it on the paper. It's pretty amazing. My last question, we're not going to get away from this serious stuff. And my last question that I did write that I know you giggled about was, do raccoons really thrive on fried chicken? Can you answer that question that we've all been wanting to know?
Do you want some context for that question?
Yes, I think we do.
That would be good.
So that comes from a 3-month residency I took at the end of last year in Nebraska. And for your listeners who don't know where Nebraska is, it's basically right in the center of the United States. You can just kind of drop a pin in the middle of the map.
It's wheat country, isn't it? Wheat country or
corn?
Sorry, corn. And quite conservative.
I was going to say, is that the Bible Belt around there?
Yeah, it's the Bible Belt. It's a red state. Like, I think when I got this residency and I was telling people in New York that I was going to Nebraska for 3 months, like, people were very incredulous because a lot of, you know, people on the coast here have never visited the, you know, the Midwest. And, you know, but for me, like, the Midwest was, it's an exotic place. So I was quite happy to just explore it and see what it had to offer. But one of the restaurants that we became frequented quite often at this residency was this kind of hillbilly shack in the base of these woodlands. And it was known for has been a very good fried chicken restaurant, but it was also known for this ginormous population of feral raccoons that lived around the woods. And at intervals in the evening, the waitresses would step outside and they would just tip these buckets of leftover fried chicken and fried foods.
Yum.
That would explain the feral raccoons.
And there's just hundreds and hundreds of feral raccoons just swarmed them. And they were the most peace little animals I've ever seen in my life.
Sounds like a bit of a horror movie, all those scary raccoons.
Sounds like Deliverance or something like that, with raccoons on the porch and a banjo, playing a banjo or something.
Sounds like a fun experience. I mean, having that opportunity as an artist to travel to the States and explore, different communities, different countries, different states, sounds like fun. Thank you for your time tonight, Jess. I really appreciate hearing about your success and your journey as an artist, inwards and outwards. Two of your exhibitions have just finished in Australia, one at the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre and one in Geelong. Where else can we see your work closer to home?
I'm actually coming back to Australia next month. I've been working on a new series of animations with Simon Ward, and we're going to be exhibiting them at Carriage Works as part of the national exhibition.
Great.
And so that opens, I think it's like the 30th of March. So I'm spending about three weeks up in Sydney getting that together. I'm also showing at the Fremantle Arts Centre at the end of May, so that's my next little project in Australia.
We all have to get out there and have a look. Thanks again, Jess. Make sure you go out and see Jess's work. This is Jane, and you're listening to Broad Designs on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you.
I'm Rose Mythe. I'm listening to Broad on Joy 94.4 FM. 94.9. Okay,
perfect.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Hi, I'm Rose Myers. I'm the director of Girl Asleep. You're listening to Broad on Joy FM 94.9.
Y'all gonna end up unemployed riding around in this pile of junk.
You're welcome to walk the 16 mile
or sit in the back of the bus. Like kiss me
up. You have identification on?
NASA, sir.
NASA? I had no idea they hired.
There are quite a few women
working in the space program.
Least I can do is give y'all an escort.
Three Negro women are chasing a white police officer down the highway in 1961. That is a God-ordained miracle.
In 14 days, astronauts will be here for training. And we're shooting a human into space, and it's never been done before.
With the launch of the Russian spy satellite, the president is demanding an immediate response. Running from the
man. Space test group needs a computer.
Catherine's the gal for that. She can handle any numbers you put in front of her. You and I are
different from each other. This is about inventing the math, because without it, we're not going anywhere.
Yes, sir.
That's John Glenn.
What do you guys do for NASA?
Calculate your launch and landing site. How could you be ogling these white men?
It's equal rights. I have the right to see fine in every color. Oh, not
found it. If you were a white man.
And this is Broad on Joy 94.9. Thanks again, Jane Connery, for organising the interview with Jess Johnson over in New York City, the wonderful artist and designer, virtual reality animator. She's doing amazing things for women everywhere. And, yeah, fantastic. Now we have got Bite Me Down Under with Beck coming up very shortly. And that was a little bit of the bite there, you could say, of Hidden Figures, the trailer of the film that is just rocking it and it is taking the world by storm. It's beaten Rogue One already. That was a few weeks back when it was released in January in the States. It had to wait over a month to come out here, February the 16th, this Thursday. Now, I was going to do a review, but I'm running out of time. At least I played the trailer and a couple of tracks from the actual film. So I might actually do a separate podcast. You'll have to wait to find out what I thought in its entirety of my particular take on things, of what I thought of Hidden Figures. But look, I did love it. It's directed by Theodore Amalfi, produced by a whole bunch of awesome people, including Pharrell Williams, who wrote the musical soundtrack and all the songs, which give you a real flavour of the era, 1960s, early 60s, 61, 62, and so on. The space race between the USA and, of course, the Soviet Union was in full blast leading up to the first humanned flights, or should I say orbits around the planet Earth, and leading on to what happened in 69, which is the landing on the moon. In any case, I will do a separate podcast for that, so you'll have to check us out another time. Meanwhile, jump on board Broad on Facebook or go to our podcasts on joy.org.au. And I had a message from a Jade I haven't forgotten. I'll read it out very quickly. She says, "Hi, Sonia. Hope you're well. So glad to see GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, promoting intersectionality in the LGBTQ community at a recent rally. Excellent. I think that was the hashtag resist rally. In any case, LGBTQ intersectionality regarding women, I'd argue every real queer must be a feminist of sorts and appreciation of their own community. Go Broad." Well, I hope so. And I know that Beck has got some awesome music coming up, some Aussie tracks for you to get into and get your teeth into with Bite Me Down Under. So tune in next week. We've got a whole bunch of awesome women we'll be talking to. There's too many to think about right now. You'll just have to be teased by me. You've been listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
B-R-O-A-D.
B-R-O-A-D. That's it. Yep. I had to think about that.
Yeah. It's funny because we say in American English, we say broad.
Oh, okay. Well, you say it in your American tongue.
Did I say it with an American accent?
Please. Yeah, please do.
Okay. This is Jamie Babbitt, the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
The 1986 women's mural from Bombonera to Barbed Wire on Smith Street was defaced. Responding to the community outcry following its destruction, the Women's Mural Documentation Project is capturing your reactions to this defacement and to the 30-year history of the significant feminist mural. Danielle and Sally from the Women's Art Register want to hear from you. Get in touch, thewomensmuralproject@gmail.com. A community message supported by Broad and Joy 94.9.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune into us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.